Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos, Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud for Beis Shammai. In our previous year, we had an extensive discussion about the Issa of Loisus Gaididu, where the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to have groups, Loisus Gaididu, Loisasa, Agudas, Agudais. The Aloch is that we're not allowed to have different Nhogim, we're not allowed to follow different rules in Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara asked the question from Pesach, and the Gemara said, by Pesach, it's not obvious that people are following different menhagim. Ask the Gemara, as we begin today's shir, going back to what we've learned in our sugya. Be Shammai matirin tzaras l'achim. Be Shammai says that tzaras erva is a candidate for yibum. Be Hillel oisrim. So the question is that how could that have been? Why is this not a violation of Lois Haskaidu? Answers the Gemara. Misavet, also Beishamai Kedavrayim. Don't assume that Beishamai followed their opinion. Loi also Beishamai Kedavrayim. Actually, Beishamai did not follow their opinion. Beishamai understood that we have to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says also that they stated their opinion, and they were not concerned that by following a different opinion than Beis Hillel, they were violating the Isra of Loisus Skaridu. So Tosfos explains that they did not have to. According to this teretz of Rabbi Yochanan, they did not have to try to come to agreement. That what they did was that everybody was entitled to their opinion. Ritva, however, says that this is a unique situation. And Ritva says that Beis Shammai, even though, as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year, Beis Shammai actually holds that they were allowed to do Yibum in the Tzaras Erva, Beis Shammai was Machmer. What do I mean when I say Beis Shammai was machmer? That they did not, on one hand, allow the woman to get married without something, but they did not allow yibum. They allowed only chalitza. So the Rishonim ask, what is pshat in the Gemara when it says osu va'osu? If the point of the Gemara means to say, as we explained, that Beis Shammai followed their opinion, so he could have said just osu. Why does it say osu va'osu? So the Rashba explains osu va'osu means that they personally follow their opinion, v'osu, and they told others that they may follow that opinion. The Ritva says what the Gemara means to say is that they follow their opinion whether it was l'kula or l'chumra, as we just explained. It would be a kula if they would allow yibum. It would be a chumra if they would require chalitza. And also, they gave the yavam the right to choose. You want to do yivam, you want to do chalitza. The halacha is that they could do whatever you want. The Rishash explains that what it means, also, means it's just a way of expressing how serious they were and following their own opinion. Another pshat that the Paris Yosef suggests that it could even be that people from Beis Hillel, since they were concerned that maybe Beis Shammai was correct, and if we won't follow that opinion, and if we're not going to follow Beis Shammai's opinion, as we're going to be learning, we'll have a situation of Yivam L'Shuk. So quietly, Beis Shammai also, they followed the opinion publicly. But even some people who followed the opinion of Beis Hillel quietly did chalitza because they were concerned for the opinion of Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, this machlokes that we just said of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh, how to understand, suggests the Gemara is plukta to Rav Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel had a similar machlokes. Rav amaloy also Beis Shammai kedivrayim, v'Shmuel amaloy also. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Beis Shammai followed their opinion? Amos, exactly at what point did they follow their opinion? Ilay Mekoyden Baskol, if it was before the Baskol said that we follow always the opinion of Beis Hillel, my Tamad Amalai also. So why should Beis Shammai not follow their opinion? Velo, Achabaskol, if this took place after the Baskol emanated that said that the Aloch is like Beis Hillel, so then on the other hand, my tam demand amasu, once there was a Baskol that said that we followed the opinion of Beis Hillel, how could Beis Shammai disagree with a Baskol that says so? And says the Gemara, we have a way of explaining this. We could explain it that this happened either before or after the Baskol. And the Gemara explained itself. It's a situation when they took a vote, Beis Hillel was the majority. So according to the opinion, that Beis Shammai did not do as they felt, the Beis Hillel Ruba. Beis Hillel was the Roiv, and we know that the Torah says, Achri Rabbim Lahatas. Mandama also, and the one that says the Beis Shammai followed the opinion. Why? The key is Lina Basarava, when do we follow the Roiv? Hecha the Kadodininu, when we have people of equal stature. But if they of not equal stature, Hocha, Beis Shammai Mechadet De Tvei, Beis Shammai was sharper, and since Beis Shammai was sharper, we follow the opinion of the sharper opinion, even though they are not the Rav. And there's a very big machlokes for Shoinim. What is that the halacha? The Orzerua, the Agos Oshri, the Ravid says that that's not true. That the halacha is that we should always go following the Rav. Rabbeinu Haigoin says that we follow the people who are sharper. And Ramban says the basis for Rabbi Haigoin's opinion is exactly in our Gemara. But he says the following. There's a difference. He says, if they're sitting in a Din Torah, so the halacha of the Torah says is that when you have a Din Torah, achri rabim lahatas, you have to follow the majority. Even if the people who are stating the minority opinion are mechudadim. There's a halacha when we speak about a Din Torah, we always follow the Rav. However, where it's like our Gemara, where they're not actually sitting together, then the halacha is we can follow mechudadim. The Shach says that we always follow the Rav, and especially that's what the Baskol meant to come teach us, says the Shach. Says the Shach, what the Baskol came to teach us was that when you have, that even though they're Mechudodim, the halacha of Rav is stronger than Mechudodim. Rebbe, the Ritva says, Paskin's always like Beis Hillel. And that's why Rebbe, in his modesty, being humble, even though he was a descendant of Beis Hillel, he wanted to show respect to Beis Shammai, and that's why he always mentions Beis Shammai first. The Gemara Masechet Erevin says that for Shalosh Shanim, for 3 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing. Some say, Beis Shammai said the halach is like us. And Beis Hillel said the halach is like us. Yatsa Baskel v'Amru. A Baskel emanated and said, Eilu v'Eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. V'Halach k'Beis Hillel. So Tosfos asks that there's a famous Gemara, the Gemara of Tanur Shalachnoi. There was a big debate between Rebbe Elazar and Yeshua about this type of furnace regarding Hilchus Tumah on the furnace. And the Baskel came out and said that the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar. And they said, and the people in the Beis Medrash said, Loi b'shamayim hi. This is not something that's supposed to be decided by a Baskel. So the question is, why over here in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are we following the Baskel? So one Teretz Tosfos suggests that there the Baskol that emanated was only to show honor, cover to Rebbe Elazar, but not that the Baskol meant to paskin like Rebbe Elazar. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests that even though there was a Baskol, there's a difference if the Baskol is with the Roiv or against the Raon. By that case, Rebbe Elazar was not in the majority, so therefore we don't follow the Baskol. But here, where Beis Shammai was Mechudodim, so maybe over here, Beis Shammai, we need a Baskol, because it's not a simple situation of Roy Vamiat. When we speak about a Baskol is something that is a Madrega, is a level below Nevuah, how to hear the word of Hashem. Tosfos from Masechta Sanhedrin says that the definition of a bas kol is that you don't hear directly a voice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, he explains, that the definition of a bas kol is that you hear an echo. And here we have an interesting question. The question is, what's going to be, we're saying that Mechudodi Tfei is a factor that we have to take into consideration. So the Shas Tshuvas Chinuch Beis Yehuda discusses where you have three pieces of meat. Two are small and one is large. In fact, the large piece is bigger than the two small pieces combined. But one of these three pieces of meat is not kosher, and two are kosher. So the question that he asks is, what do I follow? Do we follow the roiv, and most of the pieces of meat here are kosher? Or do we follow the fact that this big piece may be the non-kosher meat, and this big piece is equal, more than double the size of the two pieces of meat? So Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Sefer Beis Oitzer, suggests that machloikis is really the machloikis that our Gemara suggests. The one that says we follow Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is the roiv, and we always follow the roiv. We count pieces. The other mandam says that we follow Muchudadim, and the fact that this one piece is larger than the other two pieces combined, and it may be the non-kosher meat, is something that we have to take into consideration. The Bricha Yosef quotes a tshuva from the Rashbam, that there was a community that they had wealthy people, they're people of average wealth, and they had Talmid Chacham all living in this community. And how does he discuss, when there's a question that comes up, what to do? What do we do in this community? Do we follow the roiv, or do we follow, if there are people in the community who are greater Talmid Chachamim, maybe we should follow the people who are bigger Talmid Chachamim? Says the Marashdam that our Gemara clearly is indicating that Mechudodi is something that we should take into consideration. And therefore, if you'll have great Talmid Chachamim all holding one way, and then you'll have others holding differently, it may be that we should go with the Talmid Chachamim. So the Bricha Yosef himself asks, but isn't our Gemara saying just the opposite? Our Gemara is saying that we follow the roiv. Says the Bricha Yosef, our Gemara indeed says that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, who's the roiv, and we don't follow Beis Shammai, who are the Mechudodim. But, says the Bricha Yosef, why is that the case? The reason that that's the case is because, as we just said, there was a bas kol that came out and said we should follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. So yes, maybe, says we should really follow, the Bricha Yosef says, we should follow the Talmid Chachamim, we should follow the greater people. Here, there was a reason not to follow them. And I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has this discussion where there's a patient and there's a debate amongst the doctors how to treat a certain patient. Two doctors say that he should be operated, and three doctors say he should not be operated. So if we learn pshat, posha pshat, the halacha is we should follow Acher Rav Melachatos, we should follow the roiv. But he says, l'aloch l'maisam, if all of these doctors are essentially of one stature, they're all really basically all the same caliber, so then the halacha is Acher Rav Melachatos. But very much similar to the Marashdam, if you're going to have two doctors, or even one doctor, who is far more greater than the other doctors, even though he's not derived, our Gemara introduced a new factor to take in consideration, that we don't just look at quantity, we look at quality as well. V'bay seima acha baskol, that Machloik says, even after baskol, the opinion that holds the Beis Shammai did not continue following their opinion, is because of nafka baskol, there was a baskol. Umandam also that they continued doing with their opinion, there was a baskol that said not like that. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Shuhi, Dama Emash Gichim Baskol, as we said before, Loi B'Shemayim. But ask the Gemara, Omandam Asu, but according to the opinion that Beishamah continue following their opinion, why is there no concern of Karin and Kan Lois is going to do that we should Loisasa Agudas Agudas? Omar Abraya, to which Abaya says, Ki Aminu Lois is going to do? When is there where is the concern of Lois is going to do? Ki Goin Shnei Bati Dinim Ba'arachas. When you have two Bati Dinim in one city. Halolomayim Kedivri Beishamai. Some say like Beishamai, Halolomayim Kedivri Beishalom. If they're in two separate cities, less Lombard, then we don't have that consideration. If we're saying in one city, they can't have two different Minhagim, Beisham Beisil lived in the same city. One Besdin in one city. Plag Mayim Kedivri Beishamai, and half the Besdin Paskins like Beishamai, or Plag Mayim Kedivri Beisilom, and half the Besdin Paskins like Beisilom. That's when there's a concern of Lois is going to do. Av Shtei Bati Dinim Birachas, when they have two Bati Dinim in one city, less Lomba, then even though they're all in one city, we Paskin, there's no problem of Lois is going to do. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that this machloikis of Rava and Abaya really is very much connected to what we discussed in the previous year. Why is there a concern of Lois is going to do? We learned that Rashi's opinion is that the reason there's a concern of Lois is going to do is because of Shtei Tyrus. We have to be worried that it looks like two Tyrus. On the other hand, the Rambam says that the concern is machlokes. So now we can explain, perhaps, the machlokes of Abaya Varova. Abaya says that if they're in two separate cities, there's no concern for machlokes. Rava says the concern is Shtei Tyrus. And as long as they're two separate Bate Dinim, there is no concern of Shtei Tyrus because every Besdin is doing for itself and it doesn't. And we're not concerned about a situation of machlokes. Tashma. So the Gemara continues in discussing if there's a machlokes, what do we do? Says the Gemara, Tashma. B'mkayim shabalezah yukarsim eitzim lasas p'cham b'shabes. And where Rebelezer lived, they used to cut wood to make coals for to lasas barzel to make metal to be able to make a knife for bris on Shabbos. Now, that's a machloikis, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, if you're allowed to do that. In other words, everybody agrees that you're allowed to make a bris on Shabbos. The Torah Kedosha says, B'yayim HaShmini Yayim HaBasar HaLosai, and from B'yayim HaShmini Yayim HaBasar HaLosai, we learn, B'yayim HaShmini Afilu B'Shabbos, that even on Shabbos, we make a bris. The question is, what is included and what is not included? So, the Chacham hold, only something that could not have been done before Shabbos. The actual bris could not have been done before Shabbos. So the halacha is, you do the bris on Shabbos. But all the preparations, for example, as we just spoke about, making the knife, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar disagrees. And Rebbe Elazar holds that you're allowed to even do machshirei meila, anything that you need to do to prepare for the bris meila. And the Rishonim point out, not only does Rebbe Elazar hold that you're allowed to do the machshirei meila on Shabbos, but more than that, they specifically made it on Shabbos to show the chiv of a mitzvah. Tosfos says they deliberately waited for Shabbos to make the knife. Why did they wait for Shabbos to make the knife? To show everybody that not only is it permitted, I want to show how important the meila is. And the Chazon Ish says that this Gemara could teach us a very important point. If a person has two Rebbeim, and both are Rebbeim, he has two people, Talmid Chacham, who has Rebbeim. He could follow, and he always follows one specific Rebbe. As he could even follow that Rebbe under all circumstances. Because here we have a situation, B'mekayim Mishar B'lezer. Rebbe Elazar was the Rav of that city, and since Rebbe Elazar was the Rav of the city, the people in that city followed his opinion, because that's what it means to follow the Rav of a city.
Says the Gemara, "Mekam shayosa glili haybais aichlam basu b'chay b'chayelv." Mid the raisa, the only thing that's asur is beef that's not be mixed with milk. Chazal said that even poultry should not be mixed together. So says the Gemara, he didn't agree with that isid rabbanon. Says the Gemara, "Mekam shabaleza in on." The place where Rabbi Eliezer lived, that's where they allowed them to do machshirei mila on Shabbos. They did not allow. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, klal amar b'kiva, kol melach shef shal asoy samer of Shabbos, anything that could have been prepared from before Shabbos, and a doicha Shabbos may not be done on Shabbos. But ask the Gemara, why is there no concern of loisasa agudas agudas? Says the Gemara, "Vahai mai tiyufta." Why is this a question? Mekaymus, mekaymushani. They had different places, and we just learned that when it's different places, everybody agrees that there's no promulosis guy to do. Says the Gemara, "The karle, my karle." Ask the Gemara, "What was the havamina?" We just learned that everybody agrees. Different cities can have different cities can have different mahagim. Says the Gemara, Sakadat Chamina, we would have maybe assumed, Meshum Chum de Shabbos, we're talking here about Hilcha Shabbos. And when we talk about Hilcha Shabbos, even though it's two different locations, Kamakam Echadami, maybe it should be considered as one place because we're so concerned about Hilcha Shabbos. Kamash Milan, two different places, can follow two different Menhagim. Here the Gemara discussed the Isser Abasar Oif Bechalov. The Gemara says that we're machmer that not only don't we eat beef with dairy, but we don't eat poultry with dairy either. So I saw the Rizk Zilstein has a very interesting discussion. He says there was an administrator in a yeshiva who was looking for a chef for the yeshiva, and somebody recommended to him a certain individual. He asked, is that individual a person who is an expert in Hilchas Kashrus? I don't want to have somebody in my yeshiva being the chef who doesn't know Hilchos Kashrus. She said, absolutely. He walks into the kitchen. The administrator walks into the kitchen one day and he sees that the chef is putting butter into the chicken that he was cooking. He immediately got terrified. Of course, we don't mix poultry with milk. So he immediately terminated his contract. The question is, does he have to pay the chef, or could he say that it was a mekhtos? He could say that I hired you on the condition that you know how to, that you know Hilchos Kashrus, and clearly it's a mekhtos. So some say, absolutely, that it's a mekhtos. But there's a famous nesivus that says when somebody is only violating a yisad rabbanon, you can't use the claim that it's a mekhtos. Especially, I saw two explanations why. One is that even though he hired this chef with the understanding that he knew Hilchos Kashrus, that doesn't absolve him from having a mashgiach and having somebody watch what the chef is doing. And just taking the approach, well, I hired him and he says he knows Hilchos Kashrus and I don't have to pay attention, is unacceptable. That's one pshat that I saw. The one reason. The other reason is when he turned to the chef and he asked the chef, you said you know Hilchos Kashrus. How did you make this kind of a mistake of putting butter into the chicken? So he said, I didn't realize that butter was dairy. I thought that butter is like margarine, that it's not dairy. Now, of course, it's a very big mistake. But especially, as we just said, since it was an Issa Drabbanon, it may be an acceptable excuse, and that's why he paskins that he has to pay him. Of course, he could let him go. So ask the Gemara. Toshma, Tervu Kiklal Asrei Derb Shu Ben Levi. When Revu would come to Shu Ben Levi's location, have Matatl Sharga. He would carry a candle after it got extinguished, and he did not consider it Muksa. But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's location, he would not move the candle. He considered muksa. Now the question is, why did he act differently in different places? Isn't that loisus gadadu? Says the Gemara, V'hai my kusha. I don't understand the question. Loi, I'm reading Mekoy Mishani. Haven't we just said that if you live in different places, there is no concern of Loi Suskaridu? And here was a situation, says the Gemara, of different places. Says the Gemara, not Hachikuminin. This was our question. Our question isn't how two cities can have different positions. As we're learning, two different cities could act differently. Our question was, Ravua Hecha Aver Hachi Vecha Aver Hachi. What? How could Ravua do this? Sometimes act this way, and sometimes act that way. Answers the Gemara. Ravua Kribeshua Belevi Sphirle. Ravua really held a Kribeshua Levi that holds that there's no problem Muksa. However, Kimikal asked Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's location, even though halachically he was not concerned of Muksa, because the reason he didn't carry was Mishim Kvadid Rabbi Yochanan out of respect to Rabbi Yochanan. But asked the Gemara, Vayikishama, Ravua had an attendant, and he saw that in Rabbi Shua's location he was lenient, and we have to be concerned that the attendant won't have this sensitivity about the covet of Rabbi Yochanan, and he'll continue carrying. And because we're so concerned of the covet of Rabbi Yochanan, he should have never carried, that it should never come out, that maybe even though he, of course, knows what to do or what not to do, his assistant may not know what to do. Says the Gemara, the Maidalei L'Shama, he informed his assistant that this is what I'm doing, and you too have to be concerned about the concern of Kavod HaRabbi. In other words, the Gemara is saying is that when Kavod HaRabbi is a consideration, of course there's no issue of agudas agudas. Says the Gemara, we go back to our Mishnah. Toshima afbish elu oisrim. Basil's opinion is that a tzaras erev is osur. Veilu matirim. Basil Bisham's opinion is that a tzaras erev is mutab. Said the Mishnah, loinim and Basham and Melissa Noshim Basil. Basham and Basil intermarried. Veloinim and Basil and Bashamai, the two families intermarried. Iam Bishlomo. If we're going to say that Beis Shammai, even though they halachically did not agree with Beis Hillel, but still, Layasu, because Beis Hillel was derived, they didn't follow their own opinion. So we understand, Mishamach Nimnu. That's why they could enter marry, because Beis Shammai is acting like Beis Hillel. Eli Amrit, Asu, that Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion. So Maila Nimnu, why did Beis Hillel feel comfortable marrying into Beis Shammai's opinion? Says the Gemara, Bishlomo, Beis Shammai, Bil Beis Hillel, even according to Beis Shammai, didn't feel bad getting married into Beis Hillel, Loi Nimnu, that even if Beis Shammai follows their own opinion, the B'nai Chai V'Lav Ninnu. What is the halacha if someone who is obligated to have Yibam Mechalitza gets married? So the halacha is that the children, that's a violation of a lav, and since it's only a violation of a lav. So as we've discussed previously, the children born from a relationship of chai v'lavin are not mamzerim. So since those children are not mamzerim, they're allowed to be married into Klal Yisrael. So according to Beis Shammai, yes, yibum chalitza should have been done, but it doesn't affect them. But ask the Gemara, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Amai Lo Nimnu, how did Beis Hillel marry into Beis Shammai? According to Beis Hillel, Tzoras Ha'erva is an erva, eishasach. And not only is it an erva eishasach, but it's an erva of the category of chayv krisis. And we've discussed that the child born from chayv krisis is a mamzer. So how could Beis Hillel marry them? But mamzerin nenu. Why wasn't he concerned the mamzerin? The chitema says the Gemara, maybe what you'll try to say an answer, that Kusama Beis Hillel, a mamzer mechayv krisis. Beis Hillel's opinion is that just even when there's only a chayv krisis, there wouldn't be a mamzer only for chayv mitzvah bezdin. Says the and Eish Hasach, as we just said, is a chayv krisis. Says the Gemara, how could you say so? Ha'amar Rabbi Loza, Abi Shenaklu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Betzaris. Even though they're having a dismachlokes about Tzaris erva, Maidim, everybody agrees, she'ein mamzer ela shesur is erva v'karis. That there's a chiyuv karis. It's already a question of a mamzer. So if Beis Shammai continued following their opinion, so if somebody married a tzaras erva, the children would be a mamzer. So how did Beis Hillel marry into Beis Shammai? El v'shmamino, it must be that we have no other conclusion to reach. The lo yasu, the Beis Shammai did not follow their opinion. Says the Gemara, loy,
That's not what happened. What happened was that they filed the opinion, and if there was going to be a shidduch, if there was going to be a match between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Medela Parshi. Beis Shammai would inform Beis Hillel, this is not a family for you to marry. This is not a family for you to marry, because they have their Tsaras Erva who had Yibam, that we hold that they're allowed to get married, and you hold they shouldn't get married, and you hold there's a question of a mamzer. So now the question is, were Beis Shammai obligated to inform Beis Hillel? The Ritva says that according to the letter of the law, Beis Shammai were not obligated to inform Beis Hillel about this, because according to them, the marriage was permitted. However, pshat in the Gemara is that since there was such goodwill between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even though they weren't obligated to notify them, they would notify them. So the Arzarua says that this discussion is very relevant to if you have an individual who is machmer. The example he gives, he's machmer in Chodesh. And he only eats flour that is yoshan. And he's invited to someone's home who's not machmer. So he says that it's the host's responsibility to refrain from serving his guests foods that the guest doesn't eat. Or at the very least, the host has to inform the guest that this is the case. However, continues the Azarua, that the guest could rely on the host's responsibility to inform him, and therefore, even if the guest is more machman than the host, he could eat the food without asking any questions, because he could assume that if there was an issue that affects him, his host would have told him. Of course, points out the Shach, we could only rely on the Azarua in a case where the host is aware of the way the guest acts, the guest's chumrah. If the host is not aware of the guest's chumrah, then he has no way of knowing to notify him. However, says the Meiri, that this halacha only applies if the host is an individual who's muchzik bekashus v'chsidus. That the person, even he doesn't have necessarily every chumrah, is a high, upstanding individual. But if the host doesn't have that reputation, the guest cannot assume that the host will necessarily inform him. The Binyan Tzion disagrees. He says that in our Gemara, when the Gemara says the Beis Shammai would notify Beis Hillel if there's a question in Memzerim, he says that our Gemara is only in a situation because Beis Hillel, before they did a shidduch with the family of Beis Shammai, would make inquiry. They would ask Beis Shammai, what is the status here? But they cannot necessarily assume that the halacha is that the host is necessarily going to tell him what's going on here. They not like the Azarua that says that we could always assume that the host will notify the guest. He says we can't make that assumption. Says the Gemara, Hachinami Mustabra, it makes sense to say that they notified each other. The Ketanim B'Seifa, we learned in the Seifa of our Mishnah, Kol HaTaras V'Kol HaTumas, whenever we have Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, Eilu Matamim V'Eilu Matarim, still, Lo'inimlim Ois M'Taras El Gaba Eilu, they would still share the vessels, their silverware, and they didn't consider each one's Tumah and Tahar. So says the Gemara, if we'll say that they would inform each other of the status, there's no problem. They will notify each other. If we're going to say they don't inform them, Beis Shammai didn't hold back from using the Kalim of Beis Hillel, the Tumas of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai Taras Nenu. Where Beis Hillel were Machmer versus Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel is going to tell Beis Shammai this keli is tamei. So let's say Beis Shammai themselves hold its tahor. So nothing terrible will come out if somebody's going to use that keli and be machmer and consider it tamei, even though it's really not. El Beis Hillel Beis Shammai lom loy nimnu. How could Beis Hillel use the kelim of Beis Shammai? Tahor is the Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is going to tell Beis Hillel that this keli is tahor, and according to Beis Hillel, tamei is nimnu. This keli is tamei. How did they do that? How could that happen? El lav, it must be the maidelhu. They must have notified them. Shmamina.
Says the Gemara, our Mishnah brought two examples how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel interacted with each other. One was the case that they intermarried, and one was the Kalim. So the Gemara first spoke about the subject of them intermarrying, of course, the subject of Al Masechta, the subject of Tzaras Erva, and the Gemara said they informed each other. Good. Then the Gemara continued in saying, we must say that Pshat, because otherwise we won't understand the case that how Beis Shammai used the Kalim of Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel didn't inform them of their status. So what makes this case of the Mishnah a better raya that they were informed than the previous case that of Tzaras Erva that the Mishnah used? Answers the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Why is the second case of Tumat Tahara a better raya? Answers the Gemara. Matatem Tzara Kolosle. If somebody is a Tzaras Erva, is something that everybody knows about. And since it's something that everybody knows about, certainly if they were getting married, Beis Hillel would know if this was a situation of Tzaras Erva. Kamash Malon, that has nothing to do with that. That the reason is that it was because that they informed each other. So the Rishonim ask a question. The halacha is, hachosher al-davar, if somebody who's not trusted regarding a certain halacha, ain't in them in lahayr al-davar. So how could they, all the examples that we've been speaking about, if Beis Shammai is meikel, how could they be trusted in any question, or when you speak about the issue of the Azarua? If I'm not makbir and yoshon, how could I be trusted to say something? So Ritva says there's a difference. There's something that's called a chashid. A chashid is a person who's not careful in halacha. Such an individual we can't trust when he says something. Here we're not talking about people who are accused of being individuals who are not trustworthy. They're trustworthy. They just have a legitimate halachic dispute. And when that's the case, that doesn't take away his namanus. That doesn't take away his ability to be trusted. And therefore, since he can be trusted, the halacha is that we could trust him. And I saw a very interesting discussion that there's a Rav that had a certain leniency on Hilchas Stam Yenam. But when he would have guests that he knew were machmer, he would take the wine out of that bottle, and put it into bottles that had a hechsher that he accepted. And the question is, how could he do so if he knew that they disagreed? So the Paiskim want to suggest that when it's a question of Tzaras Erva, when we're speaking about the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, that's when we have to be particularly careful. Or when we're speaking about people like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who we've been explaining, went out of the way to live with Ava V'Achla V'Shalom V'Reyes, so in such individuals, that's the way they acted. But it could well be that it's a chiddush, that if you hold something as mutter, you're allowed to serve it to anyone, even if they're machmer. It's a big chiddush. Says the Gemara, Gufa Amar Abelaz, Apish Naklu Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel B'Tzaris, even though we've had this machloikis, Maidim Shei Mamza El Misha Sura Esa Erva V'Anus Karus. That there's no erva only if it's a violation of an issacharis. Says the Gemara, what exactly was meant here? Ma moidim. Milayim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, pshita. It's obvious because the issa of Yivam L'shuk is a lav. In other words, according to Beis Shammai, the tzaris erva is supposed to have yibam. According to Beis Hillel, she doesn't have yibam. So if she gets married without yibam, she's no worse than a chayiv lav. And then, as we just said, the offspring of a chai v'laf, k'sher ninu. Elo, says the Gemara, Beis Hillel, who said that Tzaras Erva is osin yibam, l'Beis Shammai. That's what we're saying, that the children, if according to Beis Hillel, those children who would be married from somebody who did yibam with a Tzaras Erva would be mamzerim. Asked the Gemara, he gufa chai v'krisis. Why do we have to talk? Why do we have to focus on the children? She's a chayv krisis, says the Gemara Olam. What it means to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Lafuka de Rekiva. He wants what they were trying to say was that we don't agree with Rekiva. Domar yesh
mamzer mechayv elavin, that even chayv elavin is a mamzer. And if that would be the case, if Beis Hillel, if a woman got married who is chayv in yibum, without yibum, her children would be mamzerim, kamash malon, that ain't mamzer mechayv elavin, and that isn't a consideration. Our Gemara continues back to the discussion when we have a machlokes Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Does Beis Shammai continue to follow their own opinion? Says the Gemara Toshma, Api Shnachlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Bachoyes. Even though we have a machlokes Mitzvah Shem and Davchov of an Aleph, when you have four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, and the two brothers who are married to two sisters died without any children, so these two wives fell to Yibam, to the two surviving brothers. The halacha we learned is that these two women are only candidates for chalitza and not for Yibam, because each one of them is a chos zekukosai. And therefore, the halacha is, if they violated the halacha of a chos zekukosai, Beis Shammai says that, in other words, each brother married one of the Yivamis, Beis Shammai says they can remain married. Beis Hillel says that even if they got married, they have to terminate the marriage. The other place that they have machlokes is get yoshin, that a husband wrote a get to his wife, but between the time that he wrote the get and his giving her the get, he was secluded with the wife. Beis Shammai says that the get is still a valid get. Beis Hillel says you can't use that get because maybe she'll get pregnant from that relationship, and people will say that she got pregnant after she got a get. They also have a machlok b'sofek eishes ish. The halacha, as we keep on saying, is that a ketana of her father not being married off by a father, or even if her father married her off once, and that marriage ended with a get or misa, she's a ketana b'chaya av. The halacha is such a marriage doesn't require a get. She could just do miyun as long as she's not a bas mitzvah. And we have machlokes later on Masechta on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph that regarding miyun. The ketana that could do miyun is called a safek eishes ish, because we always have to be concerned, maybe she did miyun or maybe she won't. That too is an area where we have a machlokes of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We have machlok b'garis ishtoi, somebody divorced his wife, and then lonim b'pendek, and they ended up staying in the same hotel. The Beis Shammai said they don't have to give another get. Beis Hillel says you have to give another get, because we have to be concerned that maybe he had relations with her, and when they had the relations, that now it was l'shem kedushin, and they need to have a get. The machlok is about Safek Eishes Ish, is that Beis Shammai's opinion is that miyun could only be done after erusin. After nesuin, there can't be any more miyun. According to Beis Hillel, miyun could be done even after nesuin. And therefore, the machlokes was, if miyun was done after nesuin, what is the status of this woman? Or they have a machlokes, a bedina. The first Mishnah Masech, the Kedushin, says that the way you can be Mekandish a woman is with Kesef, but there's Machloikis, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, exactly how much. Beis Shammai says it has to be the value of Kesef, a dinner Kesef, and Beis Hillel says a prut is enough. Still says the Braisa, that even though they had all of these machlokesin, lo nimlo Beis Shammai melisa nashim Beis Hillel, v'lo nimlo Beis Hillel b'Beis Shammai, l'lamdecha, to teach us, shechiv v'reis noyag zeh b'zeh, they lived with such peace and harmony, l'kayim ha'shenemar, ahemes v'shon v'ahavdom. Rav Shimon Omer, nimna heim n'avade, v'lo nimna n'safik. So the Gemara is assuming that in a case where there's a certain issur, there's certainly an issur. For example, the case of a tsaris erva, where according to Beis Hillel, if a yavam did yibam a tsaris erva, the child is a mamzer. That's when they would refrain. But in a situation where it's only a suffolk, like the case that we just spoke about, where the husband gave a wife a get, and then they were secluded together, there we can't say for sure that he was Mekadoshar, it's only a Suffolk. That's when says Rav Shimon that they were careful in a situation of a Vadai and not a situation of a Suffolk. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara makes its point. Yeah, also, if we say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that's why we could understand why Beis Hillel has to be careful. But if we're going to say that Beis Shammai recognized that Beis Hillel is the Rav, and that's why they followed the opinion of Beis Hillel, Amai Nimnu, what's the problem? The Tisbru says the Gemara, let's take this a step further. Even if we'll say that Beis Shammai followed the opinion, so we can understand, Bishlam Beis Hillel, Nimnu Beis Shammai, Chai V'Kris Nimnu. We could understand why Beis Hillel was concerned about intermarrying into Beis Shammai, because you may have a situation where somebody lived with a Tzaras Erva, which is living with an Isser Karis. And therefore the children are Mamzerim Heim LeBeis Hillel. Ela Beis Shammai, Mai Nimnu Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Shammai refrain from Beis Hillel? Even if there was Yevama, and they didn't have Yibim Chalitza, it's only B'nai Chai V'Livin Nenu, K'sher Nenu. Answers the Gemara, Ke Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Le'nitzrucha Ela Tzara Atzma. The Gemara in our coming shir is going to say, we're not speaking about the children, we're speaking about the Tzara. Hachanami Ela Tzara Atzma. And the halacha was, if a woman, according to Beis Shammai, did not have Yibim Chalitza, she ought not to get married to anyone else. According to Beis Hillel, she is allowed to get married, and that's why Beis Shammai had to know what was the status. Not a Gemara goes back to what Reb Shimon said. Reb Shimon differentiated when we know when there's a shayla of an Issa Vadai, where Suruhu, Sofik Nami, if the Sofik also is Suruhu. It could be a Sofik Deraisa. If this woman, going back to the example that we gave, if this woman, her husband made Kedushin on her after the get, so now she's an Eishes Ish. And if she's going to go get married to someone else without a get, we have a terrible situation. Says the Gemara, that's a misinterpretation of Reb Shimon. Loi tema min ha-sofik, el eima min ha-stam. When there's a sofik, of course we have to be machmer. But let's say there's no reason to have any concern. Then we don't have to do anything. Because if there was something to be concerned about, ma'idalu parshi, they would have notified. My kamash malon. So what is Reb Shimon teaching us? The lesson that we've spoken about earlier in our shiur, the have of reis noigim b'zeh b'zeh, that they acted in such a manner that they should treat each other with respect and let them know if something went wrong. It says the Gemara behind the Reisha. That's what we already learned in the Reisha. What is Reb Shimon adding? Answers the Gemara, correct. There's nothing new. But what we're learning here is that this concept that they showed respect to each other and they notified each other what the other one needed to know. Who is the one that taught us that halacha? Kula Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon is the one that taught us that halacha.